Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We have Kirk on the line and can use his graphic input into the Hebrew alphabet to analyze the Bamidbar in the wilderness, numbers 16, 22 through 27 passage that we promised to review yesterday. We still have Tracy who called in, appreciative of our willingness to share this particular passage because it shows Yahweh on his knees lifting us up as opposed to the religious version of God where man gets on his knees to lift God up. That's it. I guess every time I think of that, it just causes me to break up the laugh. And we have Glenn still on the line, and Glenn is, I think, might enjoy this process where we're going to talk about translation. So let me begin with the first statement. I'm going to read it right from beginning to end, and then let's graphically define the words. It begins, "And Yahweh elected to speak the eternal word to influence Moshe, to approach by saying," and then we will consider what he had to say. That was Bamidbar in the wilderness, number 622. Let's just look at each of the words. The first word, "and," it's from the Hebrew wa. It is a conjunction. It tells us we're going to start a new sentence. But what is the Hebrew wa? How is it drawn, Kirk?
It's a tent peg.
Right. And the tent peg said that it was it conveyed two thoughts to those who saw this language in its original form. One is that a home would be enlarged. The stronger the tent peg, the further the tent peg is out, the more firmly the tent peg is put into the ground. The entire purpose is to safely secure the tent, which represented a home or a meeting place.
Mm-hmm.
And the second was to enlarge that. The more secure the tent peg, the larger the tent or home could be, and the more secure it was. So it speaks of adding to and increase. In fact, in Hebrew, the wa means to add to and to increase, to enlarge. Okay? So that's the first, to increase, to enlarge, to make the home larger and more secure, Yahweh. Now, how is Yahweh's name written?
Yahweh has four letters, and is, of course, it's the Yah-Heh-Wah-Heh. And the Yah, of course, is their hand reaching down, most appropriately, hand reaching down with an open palm to lift up. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No,
followed by the hay, and of course the hay is a kind of a stick figure of a person, but they're standing, which is appropriate, and they are looking up or holding their hands up, reaching up to Yahweh. And then, of course, we just had the wa, which is the tent peg, increase the family as we would interpret it. And then you have another hay at the other end. So when you have a hay, by the way, at the end, then, of course, that's feminine. So we know it's not an all-male party. So it's male and female and producing a family, hopefully increasing the family.
So outstretched arm with an open hand, followed by a person looking up, reaching up, standing up, followed by the safe enlargement of a home,
mm-hmm.
followed by another person reaching up, standing up, looking up. And they're standing up and looking up and being made secure and being enriched and enlarged by the hand that is reaching down to lift them up.
Mm-hmm. Which is also,
yes, Yahweh's depiction of his own name in his own alphabet.
Mm-hmm. That's the way he wants to be known eternally. Olam. Forever.
Forever. So, and Yahweh, then it says, he elected to speak the eternal word to influence. This is from the Hebrew word dabar. Dabar is written with three letters. And it means word, and it means to, as a verb, it means to speak. As a noun, it means word. Same exact three letters, whether it is a verb or a noun, and in the case of most Hebrew words, the verbal form defines the noun. The actionable form of the word defines the noun, in this case, to speak, to communicate, defines dabar as a noun, which is word or statement. So he elected to speak the eternal word to influence. Why don't you tell us about the three letters of dabar and how they shape our understanding of this word?
Certainly. It starts with a D, which is depicted as a doorway. And if you go to a debar or a delete, a delete or a dowel, depending on how early you want to go back, is a doorway. Mm-hmm. It's an entrance and a doorway, and I always think of Passover as mm-hmm. being the doorway to this home. His word right. is the doorway to his home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is followed by a B or a bet, which is a kind of a bird's eye view of a tent, a family home.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the Rosh, which is the head of a person. Now, we've already just used a person in the form of a hay, but the Rosh is a little different in that it this is a head where you're focusing on the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the brain to engage and to listen and study.
Right, really, so the whole person, city. Which is standing up, reaching up, looking up to God,
right.
and the
right.
and the and that that hey letter is mm-hmm. Means behold in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention, look up, pay attention.
Yeah.
And in this case, the Rosh is depicts just the head, so mm-hmm. it's about observing, paying attention, using your eyes to read, using your ears to listen, and using your brain to contemplate what you have heard, and then your mouth to respond.
Dabar. I mean, the word means all of those things.
Right. So for the observant person who looks at what Yahweh has to say, who is observant, who listens to what he has to say, and who thinks about it and responds, he will find the doorway to Yahweh's home and family.
See, I could even say that pertaining to your conversation earlier with Glenn, you know, this is, we know how horrible it is, it's going to be, so here's
right.
your doorway, here's your, if you gaze your brain, there's a home for you, waiting for you, go through the door.
Yeah, doorway to safety.
I don't think that's a stretch.
No.
I think that's
oh, no, exactly. That is exactly what the word means. And Bayeth, the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet that depicts the floor plan of a home,
mm-hmm.
Bayeth happens to be the Hebrew word for family.
Right.
And so we're talking about Yahweh's family, which is the Bayeth covenant family. So, and Yahweh, he elected to speak the eternal word to influence, and then the next word is El. El is typically means Almighty God. It means the Mighty One. It can be used as a preposition to convey to. So completely it would be as Almighty God to. And then it's going to be two Moshe. And E-L. L is a combination of two Hebrew letters. Are you aware of those two?
I would assume it's the Aleph and the Lamb.
Yes, Lamed. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the Aleph, we haven't talked about it thus far. How is it drawn and what does it depict?
It's primarily a ram's head.
Mm-hmm.
It has the number one attached to it. If you like numbers, it's strength, power, it's an authority. It's the Almighty God is how we would say it in English. The
yeah.
Almighty One, the one who has the power to do perform
mm-hmm.
and protect us and protect the home. And of course, the
What does a ram do to the flock of sheep? So a wild ram would use its horns to do what?
Obviously to fend off the any attackers.
Yeah. And also it's kind of interesting, too, that the ram will use its horns to fend off a rival father
exactly.
figure, if you will, for that flock.
Absolutely.
Yeah, as Yahweh is a jealous God and is not going to tolerate false gods in his presence, the ram won't tolerate a rival within its flocks and will use its horns to defend his flock from a rival, just as it will use its horns to defend his flock from any threat.
Good point. I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting, of course, is that the next, the Lamed is a shepherd's staff, isn't it?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's to guide and direct, to teach, protect,
mm-hmm.
if you would. Obviously, you rescue you know, it has, usually we see it as a hook. So
it's, yeah. It's, uh-huh. It's, yeah, the opposite. When you take the hook upside down, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's used to pull a lamb that has fallen into harm's way, out of harm's way, to lift that lamb up to safety. Is the other side, but the, in its normal configuration with the hook up, it's a walking stick, so it shows the shepherd is engaged, it's walking, it's leading, and while protecting. It's also used as a means to ward off harm, and as a, it's never used against the sheep, it's only used against those who would do harm to the sheep.
Yep.
So this is kind of an interesting depiction. This is the term that God used to depict his own title. And so he is at once one part of the flock, making us in his image as the ram's head, and the leader of the flock, but also the shepherd over the flock. So he, you know, he it's a really a very humble way for Yahweh to have depicted his title. He is not just the shepherd with the flock, caring for the flock, protecting and leading the flock, nourishing the flock. But he's also part of the flock. You know, he's a fellow sheep when depicting it, the ram's head.
Yeah, and he kinned himself with us, so that's the message there.
Yes. So. All right, then we say so, and Yahweh, he elected to speak the eternal words to influence. And before we go on as the Almighty to Moshe, Dabar here was written in the peel, as a stem. And the peel as a stem, the subject here, who is Yahweh, is influencing the object, who is Moshe, putting him into action. So this is something where with the, there's always with the Hebrew stems, there's a relationship between the subject and the object. And with the peel, the subject puts the object into action. So this, he was communicating this to influence Moshe, mm-hmm. to put Moshe into action. In fact, the whole Torah is action-oriented. You know, it's we're asked to observe, which is an action-oriented thing. We're asked to listen, which is action-oriented. We're asked to be in, to come to understand. We're asked to yada, which is to come to know. These are all action-oriented things. And then to engage, action-oriented. And then the reason we wrote he elected to speak the eternal word is because this was also written in the imperfect. And the imperfect means ongoing, and in the consecutive, which conveys the idea of volition. So he wants to influence Moshe. The word is eternal, and he wants him to choose this. Yahweh and Yahweh. He elected to speak the eternal word to influence as the Almighty to Moshe.
Mm-hmm.
Moshe is also a combination of three Hebrew letters. And what do they convey?
The M, the first one, of course, is a M sound. That's a water, cleansing, purifying.
And source of life.
Source of life, yes.
Yeah, life comes out of water.
Yes, cleansing and so forth. So, and then the next word, of course, is the shin, which is the teeth, which usually refers to nourishment as well as words that nourish.
Right, spoken word.
Mm-hmm. Spoken word, and then, of course, you have the hey, which is us lifting up in a behold position, going,
paying attention.
Serving.
Mm-hmm. Right. Reaching up, paying attention. Water which cleanses and brings life via the word mm-hmm. to those paying attention.
And we think of the water as also the spirit, the set apart spirit, Ruach Kodesh.
Yep, and the name is based upon the verb mashah, which means mm-hmm. to draw out. Because he was used by Yahweh to draw the children of Israel out of the most religious, the most political, the most militaristic, the most nationalistic place on earth where they were enslaved. Mitzrayim, the crucible and crucibles of human oppression and divine judgment, and known as Egypt. So that would be Moshe. To approach by saying, this is La Amar. To approach by saying, La is a preposition. It means to approach, to draw near, to make movement towards a goal. And Amar is a interesting Hebrew word. It is like dabar in the sense of its speak, the verbal form is to speak, to communicate, and in the noun form it means to the word or statement. Like there's a book of the Torah called Devarim, with the im, the y-m ending, meaning plural, meaning words, Devarim, the words. The Amar is means promise. For example, the promised land is Eretz Amar, so it means promise. It means declare. It means to answer. So Yahweh's word provides answers. Yahweh's word is filled with his promises. Yahweh's words are his declaration, and these are to approach by saying. So the lamed that that is to approach, it was depicted as a preposition with a singular letter. What is that letter?
The shepherd's staff, once again, the lamb.
Right, right. So we're going to approach the shepherd for protection, for nourishment, and for leadership.
Guidance, yeah.
Yep. And then the Amar, the Amar, again being three different letters. The first is the first letter, Aleph.
The Aleph. Mm-hmm.
Right. Leadership and authority. The M is what you just
water
described.
Once again, yeah. And cleansing and life.
Right.
Giving us life. Uh-huh.
And the Rosh, which we've talked about?
Once again, it's still the head engaged, looking, studying, right. Observing.
Right. So this is the leadership and authority to provide cleansing and life to those who are observant.
Mm-hmm. You know, it strikes me as we're doing this, and for both Yada and me and Tracy and Glenn, mm-hmm. We don't have to ask ourselves, what does Yahweh want us to do? You know, he's already told us he wants us to Shemar Torah, and this is and that's not obey anything.
Right.
I did a little study on that the other day, by the way. You can't find obey anywhere in anything ancient.
No.
But
there's no Hebrew word for obey.
No. So
I've said that a lot, and I'm glad that you actually checked. Yeah, you can't find a Hebrew word that's even remotely akin to obey. The reason it appears in your English translations is they change the Hebrew word shama, which means to listen.
Mm-hmm.
To obey. I mean, the distance between listen and obey is a chasm.
Yeah.
There's no correlation between listen and obey. And yet they just simply copy-edited the Word of God and changed listen to His voice to obey.
Yeah.
There's no Hebrew word for obey.
Yeah,
you can't be Torah obedient.
No.
You can be Torah observant, you can't be Torah obedient.
Yeah.
Not to be consistent with Yahweh.
I just thought, you know, that's exactly what we're doing. So if you need to know what God's will for you is, which you hear all the time, well, guess what?
Be Torah observant. Yeah, be Torah observant. What was Yosha? He was Torah observant, wasn't he? Yeah. So if you were a follower of Yosha, you will be Torah observant, which means you won't be a Christian.
You can't do that. You can't ride both sides of the street. Yeah.
Yeah, if you listen to Yosha, you'll be Torah observant, and which means you can't be a Christian anymore. So here we have, and Yahweh, he elected to speak the eternal word to influence as the Almighty to Moshe, approaching by saying. And we will consider what he said and who he said it to and what that name means when we return with Kirk after the commercial break. We're going to talk about what Yahweh asked Moshe to say and to whom he asked him to speak. And it's, again, the Hebrew word dabar used as a verb. Speak to prompt a decision. This is written as debar again, and debar from the Hebrew letters. Reinforcement is always the best way to teach.
Okay, it's a DBR. D being the doorway as a delete is a doorway pictured as a doorway place you go in and leave from. In and out, but in this case, we want to go through this door, and there's the BU, there's the Beth or Bet, which is the picture of the tent, the home, the family home, and the Rosh is the head observant person.
Right. So it's the doorway to the family home, a doorway to the family of God for those who are
for those who are engaged, yes.
Yeah.
As observant.
Yep. This was written in the Peel, where the subject puts the object into action, influencing the object, imperative, which is an expression of second person volition or free will. So speak to prompt a decision. To Aaron. Now Aaron is a real interesting word. First of all, it's El Aharon. And El is, as you've talked about before, is God's title, but it means leadership, ability, and authority. And it speaks of on behalf of the shepherd, for those who stand up, pay attention. And this is now in the case of Aharon. It means enlightened free will, but the letters. You begin with the Aleph, which is authority, leadership, and ability.
Mm-hmm. And then we have the Rosh.
Right. Stand up. Reach up. Pay attention. Observant individuals. And then the Rosh. Observant individuals. Who are the Wa. Tenfek. Secured and enlarged. Enriched. Protected in God's home.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by, we have now the first time we've seen this letter, the Nun.
The Nun, which is...
So who is being led, enriched, who is being observant? What does this all lead us to?
Well, it leads to, that's the seed is depicted as a seed, and that's the family, the inheritance, the future generations as well throughout, but the enlargement of the family.
Yeah. In fact, it actually looks like a sperm.
Well, it is, yeah.
It is. I mean, it looks back in the time of the ancient Israelis, they would not have had any concept of a sperm.
No.
But the drawing of a sperm is exactly as this letter looks. Yeah, it's called a seed, even though it's the a seed would typically be the seed, which would not be totally round, but more of an oval shape. And not just an oval, I've forgotten what that shape is called, where it has a point on one end and then the rounded top. I don't know what that shape geometrically is called. And then you would expect the roots to go down. But that's not the way this is depicted.
No.
It's the head of a sperm with a wiggly tail, and it's depicted horizontally. It's exactly as you would see a sperm drawn in a textbook today.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and it's interesting that the word means to be born as a child with an inheritance.
A son, an heir.
Yeah, to be born as a child with an inheritance. And the children of inheritance are the children of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole purpose of this is to be born into Yahweh's family.
And to share what he has to offer.
Exactly.
All that he has, yeah.
So this is enlightened. Aaron means enlightened free will, but it's enlightened free will about becoming a child of the covenant and inheriting all that Yahweh has to give, the inheritance of the covenant, of the five benefits of the covenant. So speak to prompt a decision to Aaron, enlightened free will, and to his sons, which are his children. Now, the children would be Ben. Which is...
That's obviously the B.
Home and family, right. Home and family.
Home and family, right.
And then we have the Nun again.
The Nun again, right.
Right. So these are children with an inheritance who are part of Yahweh's home and family. Isn't it marvelous the way Ben is described by pictures? How could you have a better depiction of the Hebrew word for child, in particular son? Benah is daughter. It just adds the the observant individual feminine to make the word feminine. But the root is still Ben. How could you have a better visual impression through the letters than family and home followed by child with an inheritance?
It's pretty straightforward. You can't complicate this.
No. So marvelous depiction of what it means to be a child and to his sons. And this, again, to draw near by communicating. This is Law Amar again. to draw near through answers, to draw near through promises, to draw near through the call and declaration. Now, the next word is ko, which is a demonstrative frame of reference. So he's... I happen to like this word, and it's difficult to convey properly in English, but let me take a whack at it, and then we'll look at the letters that comprise ko. I have said that the only reason that it's important for us to explain the process of translating and to explain the letters that comprise the Hebrew words, how they define those words, and to be observant, the purpose of being observant and paying attention to what Yahweh has to say, that when we do that, we are naturally drawn to view what he has to say from the perspective that he is communicating it. Now, the perspective here is from the perspective of the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
From his perspective. And we then have to put ourselves with the right attitude. For a frame of reference, it's about your perspective, but also your attitude and your approach is your frame of reference. And the proper attitude is to view Yahweh as he is, as the shepherd, as dad, as the head of the family, as someone who has invited us to be guided through the doorway into his home, to enrich us, to protect us, to enlarge us, to make us better than we are. And when you view Yahweh as approachable, as inviting us into his home, as our father, who wants to give us life and who wants to give us all of the inheritance that he has to offer, and you view it from the perspective of his Torah teaching and guidance, then you're in a position to effectively translate. So it's all about the frame of reference. That's the single most important aspect of providing an accurate translation, is having the proper frame of reference. Right. For example, you mentioned there's no Hebrew word for obey.
No.
There's also no Hebrew word for law.
No.
Torah does not mean law.
No.
Torah means teaching and guidance. And Shema, the word that is convoluted to obey, means to listen. Listen to the guidance. That's a different frame of reference, isn't it, than obeying a law?
Yeah, I mean, is anybody getting an enslavement lord out of this?
No.
I'm not.
No. No, there is no lord here. There's no enslavement. There's no restrictions. This is about being liberated, about being freed, about receiving an inheritance, about being born into Yahweh's family, about walking in through the door into his home is what is being conveyed here through words. So this is what he's saying with ko, providing a frame of reference. The K, how is that depicted?
It's called a kaf, and it's an open palm. It's kind of like a U with two dashes in it, like just your four fingers.
Right.
Just
so
a palm.
What it says is an open palm. If you hand somebody your open palm, you're greeting them, aren't you?
Right.
It's a handshake. And if you reach out to somebody with open palms, you're welcoming them.
Right.
Right?
Not a fist.
No. Right. And by the fact that it's an open palm, it means to open and to welcome.
And greet. Right.
And who is it? To greet. So who is the open palm being extended to?
Well, amazingly, we have the little H. The Hayes, which is the person, is the figure reaching up.
Right, standing up, reaching up. Is that person down on their knees?
No, they're very much on their legs.
Right, are they bowed down?
No, not at all.
Not at all. Standing up, reaching up, engaged. That's who the open palm is being extended to. So. It demonstrates a frame of reference. This is a focus, a perspective, drawing your undivided attention in this manner, here and now, to the discourse which follows. And then the Hebrew word, which was the reason that we began this discussion in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most important of all Hebrew words, Barak.
Yeah, that should be our favorite word.
Yes. Barak speaks of being getting down to lift somebody up in love. And it speaks of, well, there's three letters of Barak. Let's describe the three letters of Barak and and try to understand why someone would be on.
Hello? Hello?
I think we have just an open mic with Scott there in the background.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Kirk.
No, I was going to say that Barak is a obviously it starts with a B, which is the we've discussed quite a lot now. It's the home, is the family home, the Beth. The Rosh is the R, which is the head, the engaged or observant head, and then you've followed by the palm, which is obviously a greeting. And so something you could also offer a gift this way as well. You don't do it by throwing something at somebody. You gently hand it to them.
Right, with an open palm, absolutely. So the person that is kneeling down in love to lift somebody up, we need to view that from the context of opening the way, of offering a gift, of greeting and meeting someone who is part of a family and home, and this individual is there because they were observant. So an observant individual being accepted into a family home. That's what Barak means. A observant individual being accepted and being welcomed into a family home. And in that context, getting down on one knees to lift someone up, in the context of family, in the context of greeting, boy, it's pretty hard to miss. This is a father getting down on his knees to lift his children up. That's what Barak means, folks. Said, speak to prompt a decision to Aaron, which means enlightened free will, and to his sons. You should always bless, benefiting by lifting up in love, positively and eternally influencing Barak. Accordingly, from Eth, therefore, the children of Yisrael. So this is getting down on one knees in love to lift up. First time Barak appears is when Yahweh said that he got down on his knees to lift up Adam in love. Father and son. Father and child. It's a powerful perspective, and it's the antithesis of the perspective provided by the religious community. So Yahweh is saying this is the frame of reference. And once you have that frame of reference, once you see Yahweh on his knees to lift us up, as opposed to us on our knees to lift God up, everything changes. You actually understand what the covenant is all about. So here it is to lift up, to bless, to benefit in love. Eternally influencing, because this was written in the imperfect. It was written in the peel to influence. And in this particular case, it's directed at the children of Yisrael. Ish, Sarah, El. Compound of three words. Ish is individuals. Sarah is the name of the mother of the covenant, Sarah. It means to engage and to endure. And El is with God. So, Yisrael, Kirk, if you're still with us, you may have gotten cut off. I know we had some technical issues.
That's okay.
Okay. Explain, we know what Benny means, which is, in fact, Benny actually adds the Y to make it children. So this would be family, right? Home?
Family, none, and Y,
Right. Children with an inheritance of the outstretched open hand.
Which is always Yahweh.
Right. So it's Yahweh's hand reaching out to the children who are part of his family who have an inheritance is what Benny means. And Benny is used all the time in front of Yisrael. So what does Yisrael mean?
Yisrael, obviously, you just described what it means. But Yah is written with a Yod, Shin, Roach, Aleph, Lambed. So you have the hand reaching down. You have the shin with nourishment through language and communications, and you have the engaged head once again. Aleph is the power, the authority, the ram's head to protect and take care of his flock. Mm-hmm. And you have guidance and direction with the lamb at the end. I think that's right.
That's correct.
Around,
exactly right. Outstretched and open hand reaching down and out. The S in Yisrael is the sin, not the shin, and so it means a shield pierced and cut. So this is the hand providing a shield, providing protection, and to cut away, to separate, which means to set apart for observant individuals guided by the authorized shepherd with the power, authority, and ability. If you look at the words which comprise it, Yisrael, it means individuals who engage and endure with God, individuals who strive and contend with God. Contend means in the game, involved as a participant, even challenging. I challenge God all the time. You know what? I'm challenging God. I say, why did you write it that way? You know?
Yeah.
I don't get it. He said, okay, no.
What is it? You didn't speak Hebrew.
Yeah, come on. Explain this to me. You know? But I remember my biggest argument with God. By the way, he likes this because his name for Yisrael is those who strive, those who contend with God. When I came to understand that the seven Moed Mikre were the doorway to Yahweh's home and the six steps we take to the point that we enter Yahweh's home on Sukkah and can camp out with him. And then I came to realize what each of those represent, one being the doorway to life, the next being the means, the welcome mat, which cleanses us of our sin, that welcomes us and perfects us before we enter Yahweh's home, Bakudim, firstborn children, as we're adopted as the seed to the family into his home, and then seven Sabbaths, the promise of the Shabbat, Shavua, is where we receive the benefits of the covenant. We're enriched and empowered. So came to understand these things. I said, God, why didn't you just explain it that way? And he said, what fun would that have been?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the fun in the discovery?
Right.
Isn't the fun coming to know and making the connections so that you understand? You got there. Isn't that more fun, more rewarding, more beneficial? Isn't that part of communicating?
Absolutely.